ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
When you want to be stopped in your tracks.
I'm running to shoot it. It's 50-50. You can't catch his gun or he shoot you.
When you want to know the truth.
She was brainwashing her from the start.
We're here to investigate.
Something's gone wrong. Big time.
Search Background Briefing Podcast on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
They were drugs first approved to treat diabetes and then caused a frenzy when it was discovered they were great for weight loss. Now scientists are discovering GLP-1 drugs like Ozempic might offer so much more, from reducing the risk of heart attack to treating kidney disease. Today, Dr. Paul Joyce, a pharmaceutical scientist at Adelaide Uni, on how Ozempic is shaking things up again. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Paul, it's been a few years now since Ozempic seemed to take the world by storm, but really it's become sort of like a miracle drug.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Ozempic and GLP-1 drugs in general have become household names. So it was probably about 2021 or 2022 where some of the real clinical data started to come out that these drugs don't just work for diabetes, but they also work for promoting weight loss. And so the clinical data suggested that people can lose up to around 15 to 25% of their weight. Mm. But it, I mean, it's quite interesting in the sense that it seems like it's only happened in the last few years, but it's actually been, you know, 20 years in the making.
Yeah, and in the beginning it was like a drug for Hollywood celebrities and influencers, but really now it's a much wider cohort of people that are turning to this class of drugs.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, there's more and more evidence coming out kind of every day that these drugs can work across a broad spectrum of diseases.
Yeah, okay, we'll come to that in a minute. But just before we move on, can you just remind us how these drugs work, how they suppress the appetite?
Yeah, so what happens is in our bodies when we consume food, a hormone is produced. It's called GLP-1. And so what happens is that signals to your brain that you're full. And so essentially these drugs are simulating that hormone. And so they work on certain receptors within your body that then tell your body you're full and tell you to, I guess, you know, stop eating or suppress your appetite. GLP-1 drugs have been shown to help control addiction and things like alcohol consumption, you know, smoking cigarettes, because it is a chemical messenger that performs more than just telling us to suppress our appetite. And so these GLP-1 receptors are found all throughout the body. And so they're found in the brain, they're found in your pancreas, in your kidneys. And so it's not just your stomach that it's affecting.
Right. So it's dumbing down the cravings in a sense.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right.
Well, Paul, not only are these drugs, of course, being used incredibly widely now for weight loss, but as time has gone on, we are discovering they are useful for many other things as well. Research published earlier this month shows that these drugs have improved kidney outcomes in people with really chronic kidney disease. Now, just tell me about that, because that sounds absolutely groundbreaking.
Yeah, so the clinical studies have shown that essentially for really chronic kidney disease, people that also have diabetes and kidney disease, that can really suppress the progression of that disease. A drastic number of patients found an added effect when taking the GLP-1 drugs.
Yeah, it was so successful, that trial, they could end it early, actually.
Yeah, exactly. So that people that were not receiving the drug would also benefit.
Yeah, and the health regulator in the United States, the FDA, it has been asked now to approve Ozempic to be used to reduce the progression of chronic kidney disease. That will increase demand again for this drug. I mean, there are a lot of people across the world with kidney disease.
Absolutely. I think it will increase demand in Australia, but also worldwide. You know, once we started to see this dramatic weight loss potential for these drugs, you know, the shortage was a real issue. So that was an issue for about 3 years there. It doesn't seem to be an issue anymore, but I think with the, you know, ever progressing trials and things like that showing that there is potentially clinical effect for other diseases, I think shortage could become an issue again in the future. And I guess a particular interesting point for Australia is that currently Ozempic's not approved by the PBS, so it means people will have to pay full price for these drugs. Mm. And so it means that in Australia we have around 50% of people buying the drugs are actually buying it privately and paying that full price. Mm. And so if we have another, I guess, disease or clinical indication that is approved for these drugs, then that's only going to increase demand again.
Yeah, and how much is it actually costing at this point to buy these drugs?
So currently it's an injection either once or twice weekly. It's incredibly expensive. For people that are taking it for weight loss, it's around $300 to $500 a month.
Oh, wow.
So it's drastic, and I think that does also introduce then equity issues around the drug because not everyone can access it.
No.
So there are concerns around that as well.
Yeah, and once you're on it, right? If you go off it, you'll gain the weight again.
Exactly. And I think that's some of the concerns about using these drugs from a cosmetic perspective.
Yeah.
Is all the trials have shown that as soon as you stop taking the drugs, you put the weight back on. But importantly, when you lose the weight, you're not losing just fat, you're losing muscle mass, mm. and in particular, lean muscle mass. And that is very difficult to put back on. Right. In most cases, you can't. So people are then going off these drugs and then putting a large amount of fat back on.
Okay, well, let's come a bit more to the risks in a moment. But, you know, we've mentioned, of course, weight loss. It can help you get off the cigarettes, off alcohol, this amazing revelation in relation to chronic kidney disease. But there's more, isn't there? I mean, it helps people with sleep apnea. It has all sorts of benefits.
Absolutely, yeah. So in Australia, it's approved for sleep apnea, mm-hmm. cardiovascular disease as well. So dramatically reduces your risk of having heart disease or a heart attack. And there's a range of other, I guess, disease areas that are being explored as well. Mental health is a big one. So similar to how it stops addiction, it can also control brain pathways that are related to things like depression and anxiety. There's potential benefits there, but there's also been some studies that have shown that people don't benefit and actually have worse mental health outcomes. Mm. And then there's other things like, you know, as broad as cancer, various cancer types, but also than very specific disease types like endometriosis and things like that. So it is really quite broad in the way in which these drugs can have an effect.
Yeah, so there is research going on in terms of these drugs and cancer treatment. What are we seeing there, though? I mean, that would be incredible, of course, but how far along is that?
Yeah, I think the trials are progressing. So there's been some observational data to suggest that people that are taking these drugs have a much lower risk of getting certain cancers. And I think that's largely linked to the fact that things like obesity and low-grade inflammation throughout your body can actually cause cancer. So it's known that obesity can cause up to, I think, around 18 different types of cancer.
Right.
And so obviously if we can reduce obesity within the population, then there's a dramatic opportunity to also reduce the rate of cancer. And that's where it's quite difficult to disentangle what is caused by people losing weight versus what is caused by the drug.
But as you say, also, there are, with most medications, including these, you know, side effects that come with them. So just tell me, what are they? What are we seeing?
There's both short-term and then there's long-term concerns, mm-hmm. I think. Short-term side effects are things like gastrointestinal side effects, so things like vomiting, diarrhea, abdominal pain. They're the most common reasons why people stop taking these medications. Mm. But then I guess there's the long-term side effects. Obviously, I talked about you don't just lose body fat, you also lose muscle mass. But then there's some quite dangerous side effects, things like pancreatitis, dangerous levels of inflammation within the pancreas. And so that's been shown to be more prevalent in people that take these drugs. And then there's some early signs, but I think it's still a lot to be proven around thyroid cancer. So in preclinical studies, so studies that have been done in animals, they've shown that animals given these drugs have developed thyroid cancer over time. And again, you know, that hasn't been shown in a human population yet, but I think, yeah, the jury is out on do these drugs have long-lasting effects? And with such a, you know, huge array of people now taking these drugs, you know, I think in America, I think it's something like 1 in 8 now taking these drugs. So within the next 10 to 20 years, we'll start to get a better understanding of those long-term effects.
Yeah, and it's not just people with obesity that are choosing to take these drugs. They could be slightly overweight. I guess we all sort of know someone or know someone that knows someone that is taking Ozempic at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the concerning side of things. There's lots of companies now online that are selling these drugs. And so I think that is the dangerous side of it is there are people that are now taking them without the need to because they're using them to lose a little bit of weight. And that can have potentially some long-lasting side effects that people are not aware of. In Australia, we're fortunate in the sense that it's pretty tightly regulated and hopefully that will remain to be the case. But there are concerns and it's ever-evolving, this landscape. So there's more and more drugs coming out. There's now oral options. So instead of having to use it as an injection, you can take it orally. Mm. And so now moving to an oral option where the drug can be absorbed just through a tablet, obviously that makes it much more accessible for people as well that have a fear or phobia of needles and injections. And so that, you know, is going to change more and more over time as well.
All right. Well, Paul, I have seen that these drugs have been described as miracle drugs. And of course, the one we all know really is Ozempic, but there are others. How would you actually describe these developments? So, I mean, is this a miracle or not?
They're remarkable drugs. I'm always hesitant to say it's a miracle drug because I do have concerns over, you know, things like the long-term safety, but they are remarkable. And I think probably the best way to think about it is most drugs are normally have one target that they target within the body. They target one organ and they target one disease. The difference here is because this is a hormone that is naturally produced in the body. It has a range of effects in the body. And so because we're mimicking that hormone, this drug can have wide ranging effects.
Yeah.
I like using analogies because it helps people understand it a bit better.
Mm.
You can think of it as a house that needs renovations and has lots of issues. You could have, you know, leaky pipes, you know, the kitchen needs doing, the roof needs doing. In most cases, drugs target one of those things so they can patch up the leaky pipe and another drug can patch up or do the kitchen.
Mm.
But in this case, we've got a drug that is seemingly being able to do a lot of things at once. And so it can fix that whole house with one drug.
Mm.
Obviously, it hasn't been shown to do that just yet, but there are some really promising signs for how these drugs can be used cautiously.
Do you think the government will have to start putting these drugs on the PBS at a greater rate, given the demand for them and the very high cost?
Yeah, I think so. I think, at least from my understanding, the TGA has always been quite cautious when putting weight loss drugs onto the PBS.
Mm-hmm.
The best way, of course, to lose weight is to eat healthy and exercise.
Yeah.
And so the TGA especially is always cautious to promote people just taking a pill or injecting themselves to fix their weight. But when it comes to other diseases, things like chronic kidney disease, where, you know, it's a deadly disease. People need new medications for it. I think the TGA will act quite proactively to ensure that people have access to the drugs.
Mm, and Paul, we've only discussed the health impacts, of course, but it goes well beyond that too, doesn't it? Because the economic impact of all of this, it really can't be underestimated. It's changing the world.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so, you know, obviously for the manufacturers, there's a few of them. These are $1 trillion drugs. But also looking at it from an Australia healthcare perspective, if we can reduce disease burden, then we can also reduce the cost on healthcare. So the economic effects are quite wide-ranging.
Dr. Paul Joyce is a pharmaceutical scientist at Adelaide University. This episode was produced by Bridget Fitzgerald. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. ABC News Daily. We'll be back again tomorrow. Thanks for listening.